All in preparation for the challenges that lie ahead. This is a show that feeds the mind with inspiration and truth on the issues of the day. If it's important to your life, you'll find it here. Hosted by Malcolm Out Loud.
Well, are you one of those insecure people that think the Second Amendment is going away? And are you hiding your guns because you're afraid the government is coming for them? Or is the Second Amendment safe? Where do you fall in this argument? And what are our politicians doing about it? Have you been following President Obama in his recent executive actions and with the idea of trying to have some more controls on gun, more regulations? And of course, a lot of people say we have enough regulations on the books. Why aren't we enforcing what we have already? Well, that's a problem in a lot of areas, I can tell you right now. Well, this is Real Life on the Brink. This is Malcolm Out Loud. And we're going to take on the topic of gun control today in a big way. I've got a show today. We're going to look at the pros and cons of this topic. And I want to really try to understand it with you because, you know, within all the talking points and the sound bites and the media, you really don't know which end is up. So I'm going to try to pull this thing together. Look at both sides of this. Joining me on the show today will be Lieutenant Randy Sutton. He's from the Las Vegas Metro Police Department, and it's a long, long career. This is a man who's been on the front lines. He understands guns, and he's seen guns do good things, and he has seen guns do bad things. And I think somebody like that can give us a front-end view of what's really going on with guns. But we're also going to look at the other side. We're going to have another guest after that and look at the other side of this argument and trying to determine what's in our best interest. You know, do we need more regulations on the books? A lot of folks think we have plenty of regulations we're not enforcing now. So why don't we enforce the regulations we have before we get new ones? I want to take a look at why the president isn't working with Congress and why Congress isn't working with the president on this very powerful and controversial issue. It's a challenge. It's a challenge. What's happening right now with 7 years into an administration is the president has lost all credibility with the Republicans. And so you've got an all-out war going on both sides. And that's really what's happening. It's not that they don't feel you could do something together. I think both parties know they can do something on this. But the problem is, when you've got two parties that don't want to work together, some of it's ideology, some of it's philosophy, and some of it's just plain old stubbornness, folks, and where they don't want to bend. Well, President Obama is signing executive actions again for further gun control for background checks. There's, you know, some of the conversations on background checks are that not everybody is subject to a background check. If you buy a gun from Aunt Margaret up the road or Cousin Billy or some friend, you don't necessarily have to have a background check. That could be a problem, they say, for a lot of people who, you know, may have a couple of screws loose or maybe looking to do harm in the wrong way. But then on the flip side of this, my friends, you can have all the rules and regulations in the world, and it doesn't mean you're going to be able to stop violence of any kind. But does that mean we should do nothing? Do you see where the temperature of this argument is all over the place? I mean, it really is all over the place. So I believe we need background checks for everybody. I support the president with this, by the way. I support background checks, but I firmly protect and support our Second Amendment rights and the right to bear arms. Can we have both? Of course we can have both. Of course we're entitled to have both. But, you know, me, just like you and the next guy, we don't want to have somebody that has a couple of screws loose running around with guns of any kind. So I think background checks are important. That's part of the conversation where we're having is who's, you know, where should background checks fall and should everybody be entitled to have one? And that's being an argument. One of the arguments is that there's a cost factor involved and attributed to these background checks. The more regulations you have, the more expensive it is. Well, that goes without saying. That goes with everything in this country. It's one of the biggest problems we're having right now. We've become very burdensome with regulations in so many areas, from business to healthcare to guns, everything we do. The food we eat is heavily, heavily, heavily regulated. But where is that fine line between having safe and security and not too many regulations so it bears down the cost versus, you know, all the regulations in the world where everything becomes so darn expensive we can't afford it? That's part of the problem, part of the challenge of what happened with gun control. Some of the markets, they're saying, well, it could cost another $100, $125 if you put some of these background checks on there. But what's the alternative? To have some lunatic running around with a gun? Listen, I come from the mindset that, you know, our lives are important. Our children's lives are important, and all of our lives are important. And we don't want to have people that shouldn't have guns possessed with them, no matter what. They shouldn't possess a gun. And I think whether you're a Democrat or Republican, independent, doesn't matter. I think you have to agree with that. We need to protect people. We need to do everything we can to keep guns out of the hands of criminals. Now, we're never going to stop the hardcore criminals, folks. It's not possible. You know why? Because hardcore criminals don't follow laws. They don't follow rules. That's why they're criminals, you see? So it doesn't matter how many laws you pass. These folks are not going to, they're not going to follow through with anything. Rest assured, it's not going to happen. So if we understand that and understand there's always going to be violence, there's always going to be criminals. I mean, again, we always refer to Chicago. Chicago, it's one of the cities in our country that has some of the toughest gun laws that are out there. Yet crime in Chicago is going through the roof. You know, so, you know, and it's not like that everywhere in the country. And I'm going to debunk that myth as well a little bit later in the show. I'm going to tell you some of the stats we're hearing on claims of rise in crime in this country are highly exaggerated. It's not so out of control like you're hearing. I mean, we actually have crime that's going the other way. We're actually at one of the safest times in our history. So, you know, I'm going to debunk that as well for you today. And, you know, within the show today, I want to really look and talk to Lieutenant Sutton and really understand this gun. And how can we have some common sense to this? You know, where we do have background checks, we're not offending each other and stepping all over each other, but we're able to pass some simple legislation through and enforce the rules that are on the books now. That really is the key. That's the key to a lot of things that we're doing, you know. Also, you see these self-driving cars? They've been following this. I mean, these are cars that drive themselves, and I am not kidding. That's what we're coming down to next. Everything is going to be automated, kids, from when you wake up in the morning to when you go to bed to when you leave and your cars and everything. And then this incredible story of this teenage girl that lifts a truck off her father and saves the family from a fire. It's an incredible story of courage and will and maturity and growing up. And this young lady is really a hero, although she says she's not. Isn't that the case, really? A lot of people who do heroic things, there are those who believe they haven't done anything beyond what anybody would do, but we know they're heroes. Well, this is Real Life on the Brink. Again, hashtag Malcolm Out Loud. You'll find a whole lot there on Twitter, at Malcolm Out Loud. Find us there. We got Lieutenant Randy Sutton coming right up. We'll see you right back after this quick pause. Well, it's safe to say at this point of the program, we're all a bit confused and dazed when it comes to gun control. You know, the spin goes far and wide, and to me, as far as I'm concerned, it's become a game of extreme views and opinions. It's just rhetoric, cheap talk, and, you know, today I want to give you both sides of the argument. I promised you up front I'm going to deliver it now and give you both sides of this. This is Real Life on the Brink, folks. Welcome back. It's Malcolm Out Loud. Again, you'll find our material all over social media, and you'll certainly see it on Twitter, at Malcolm Out Loud. If you just put hashtag Malcolm Out Loud, you get all the stories and things we're following, all the big issues. I think you know at this point what we do on this show is take some of the big issues and peel the onion. Look at all the different sides. So if you're an extremist and you came for an extreme viewpoint, you probably came to the wrong place. But if you're problem solving and you're looking for some answers, you'll feel right at home here, folks, again. So I want you to meet Lieutenant Randy Sutton. Lieutenant Randy Sutton, again, Las Vegas Metro Police Department, 33-year law enforcement veteran and national spokesman for the American Council on Public Safety. Again, Randy is recognized as one of the most highly decorated officers in the country. And again, awards for valor and community service, exemplary service and multiple life-saving awards. So we welcome Randy, and this ought to be an interesting conversation with him. And I want to get right to it. I sent you an article just prior to this, Lieutenant Sutton, prior to this conversation, that Senator Chuck Grassley put out. And it was 10 myths about guns. It was on the Daily Signal. And I'm going to put this up again on the Twitter feed, folks, so you can go find it. And it's a good conversation, I think, because it's got all the myths and facts in here. And I've identified a few myths, and I want to talk to you about them here. Myth number one on this sheet, firearm purchases at gun shows do not require a background check due to the gun show loophole. What do you think, Lieutenant Sutton? Myth? Can you debunk it or what?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the gun shows, gun shows are all across the country, and the vast majority of people that are selling weapons there are licensed dealers. And at these gun shows, they still have to follow the rules of their federal firearms license, and they still have to do background checks. So the vast majority of people that are purchasing guns do have to go through the background check process at the gun show.
Now, when you say vast majority, I hear that, and I hear other people saying that, but what makes me nervous? It's the screwball who's not part of that vast majority. What happens to that dude?
Right. For people that are just a citizen that is there to sell, say, a gun collection, some weapons that they inherited, and it's just a person-to-person sale, by law, they are not required to have a background check done because they don't have the ability, they don't have the legal ability to have access to criminal records and things like that. See, why would you, as a citizen, how could you have access to my criminal history or to background information?
Well, you wouldn't unless there was a registrar or something official you had to go do to be able to get the license. But from what I understand, even when you do a background check, you have 3 days. If you don't deliver the goods in 3 days, the person can go back and get the gun. Is that correct?
Well, they have to do the background check. I mean, many places have a 3-day cooling off period, they call it.
A 3-day cooling off period? Okay.
I'm pissed off. I want to go buy a gun. I'm going to go kill somebody. But the theory is that if I wait 3 days, maybe I won't be pissed off anymore and I won't want the gun.
But what if you get this gun from, again, Aunt Margaret, across town, or your cousin Billy, and they don't need to do a background check, do they?
No, they do not.
And, you know, let's say I'm a disturbed fellow, and again, I want to go take somebody out because they pissed me off. I mean, that's a problem, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. So that is, in essence, the loophole.
Here's the challenge. Help me with this now. Help me with the common sense here. Here's the arguments. One of the arguments is they're arguing that the more background checks and regulations you put on this thing, the more people aren't going to be able to afford it. The average American won't afford it because there's cost involved. That's one of the arguments coming from the right. So they say, no, we don't want to do that. But then you've got people who can fall through these loopholes and they can get them without the background checks. But then on the counter argument of that, Lieutenant Sutton, then you've got, you know, hardcore criminals. These people don't follow the rules or laws, rules of the road at all. So it don't matter what you do, you can stand on your head and whistle Dixie till the cows come home and they ain't going to follow a rule or regulation. They'll get it on the black market like everything else.
Well, that's exactly true. I mean, if you look historically, look at who has the toughest gun laws in the country. That would be the city of Chicago.
Chicago.
Look who has the highest murder rate.
Oh, it's ridiculous. I got friends out there who call me every other week crying because the crime is right in the neighborhoods there close by, you know?
Yep, exactly. And that shows you that that you can pass a law. You can pass 1,000 laws. The people that want to get the guns and use them illegally, it's the horse is out of the barn.
The horse is out of the barn, and the horse is running wild. But you know, the problem is how do we make some common sense out of this? And what a confusing topic, because then you got all these people now tying this to all the mass shootings and tying this to other crime factors, and now you've got this whole thing. They're coming for my gun, and I can see how one is. I was telling folks up front in the show here, you know, our whole political establishment has got off course here, you know, Lieutenant, and they're all sort of all over the place. You know, the left. Obama administration, they don't, you know, like and approve, and they don't get along with the Republicans. The Republicans don't get along with them. And now you've got a whole political establishment that is really getting nothing done. And you got a president who wants to sign executive orders, which is pissing all of them off. And you know what I mean? You got this counterbalance now, and we're in a heap of trouble.
And unfortunately, there is an answer to this. And the answer would be for the Congress to pass legislation that would be acceptable, and if the president and the Congress could actually set aside some of their ridiculous animosity towards each other,
their petty arguments,
then something could be done that would be livable for both sides.
But they've agreed not to do it. I mean, this Congress doesn't want to make this president look good, clearly. So in the meantime, we're not going to get anything through, are we?
Hell no.
I mean, yeah, so that's the problem. All right, let's take a look at myth number three. Individuals who purchase firearms on the internet are not subject to background checks.
Wrong. When you purchase a weapon on the internet, it has to go through a licensed firearm dealer in order for you to, when you pick up the gun, you have to get it from a federal firearms license holder. They have to do the background check. So that's completely incorrect.
Okay, I hear you, and with some respect, I'm going to disagree with you on this, and I'll tell you why. You can go to the web with a Tor browser, and there's a whole part of the web out there. I just did a show on this last week, Lieutenant Sutton, and it's called the dark web. And on that dark web, you can purchase all kinds of things: ammunition, arms, everything. No background checks, no nothing. You can purchase narcotics. You can purchase everything. Prostitution, all the bad things in life are on the dark web. You know this, right?
Yes.
So you can, but you're talking, when you, I want to be funny here, you're talking about the regular internet that most people go to, right?
Well, what you're talking about is the black market. And the black market
there
is,
you go,
whether you're getting it on the internet or you're going down to the corner
there
store.
You go. And the black market is alive and well.
Oh, absolutely. It's thriving.
It's never going away. So anybody who thinks they're going to get rid of that, any politician or anybody else, I mean, you can put, the more laws you put in place and the more rules and regulations, they're just going to break them.
Yeah, we have laws of the yin yang, and we don't really need more law. We need common sense legislation that will be enforced.
Right, that's right. That's right. Yeah, we got a lot of silly laws already, but what's going on with it all, really? I totally, totally agree with you. Take a look at myth number five. The Obama administration has made firearms enforcement a priority.
I'm going to jump on my high horse on this one. The reality is that this administration, the Department of Justice, has done just the opposite. They're doing everything they can to empty the prisons. They've got plans to release 46,000. Now, you heard me correct, 46,000 federal prisoners who they deem, quote unquote, nonviolent. And it's a myth. So here's what really is happening. They want to change the sentencing structures. They want to rid the prison systems of as many prisoners as they possibly can. So they are not enforcing much of the federal law that is already out there, and that includes weapons and crime involving weapons. Obama took office. Prosecutions for weapons crimes have diminished more than 25%.
Yeah. Listen, that's a number I didn't realize. Let me ask you this. As a police officer, lieutenant, 33 years in the business, you've seen all kinds of things. I mean, what do you think with guns? I mean, what about a couple of things? What do you think about, real quickly, gun-free zones? We only have a little bit left here, but what do you think about gun-free? Those are a problem, aren't they?
They're a joke.
Yeah,
I agree. Every major mass shooting has been a, quote, gun-free zone.
Exactly.
I mean, it's the only person that are not allowed to have guns are the people that respect guns.
Well, it's an invitation for the bad people. Let's face it here. Invitation for the bad people, totally. So, listen, I want to tell folks your website, thepoweroflegacy.com. The Power of Legacy.
Actually, we are now changing over to randylsutton.com.
All right. I didn't know that. All right. And it is Lieutenant Randy Sutton, Las Vegas Metro Police Department. And, you know, now coming back after the break, folks, I'm going to bring on someone that really has some different views on this. I'm going to give sort of some counter arguments. Stay right there. We'll be right back with you. Well, we're talking gun control today, and this is real life. We're on the brink here, folks. It's Malcolm Out Loud. Welcome back. And Brink of Greatness, we cover the good, the bad, and sometimes it's the ugly as well. But again, connect with us up on our Twitter feed, at Malcolm Out Loud, and there's a whole lot up there, too, on hashtag Malcolm Out Loud. You'll find it there. But again, getting out loud, it just means getting to the truth. It means drilling things down and trying to present some logical views. You know, I want to say to you, Malcolm kind of sits where you folks sit. I sort of sit with more, as an American, I want a common sense approach to things. I want justice. I want things to be right. I love our country. I believe in American exceptionalism. I believe in all of these things. And so that's a message I want to get across to you time and time again. So again, we'll take on the tough topics. And today it's gun control. And, you know, I'm going to try to flip the cards here a little bit now. And I'm going to try to play on the other mindset and understand, what do the Democrats really want with gun control, and what does the president really want? And I'm going to try to look at it from his eyes, his viewpoint here. So you got to work with me here now as I do this. Okay, I'd like you to meet my guest here, and it is Randy Sutton, who is an author, journalist, speaker, and Randy is just interested. He's got some interesting talk. Randy was just on with us as Lieutenant Randy Sutton, but you know what? The cat's out of the bag, and I asked him to play an alter ego with me, and he said, you know what? I think I can. So you're going to do it, Randy, right?
Absolutely. I'm going to be Randy the Liberal.
Oh, man, I never thought I'd hear that. Here we are. All right. So let's try it and put those boots on and see what Randy the Liberal or Randy Sutton, author, journalist, speaker, might get out of this. So here's the thing. Okay, so Randy, what I'm thinking is this. It's very hard to remove the politics out of gun control. You know, it's about impossible. It's like immigration. You just can't move the politics out of it. As much as you want to, it's about impossible to. You know, everything has to happen in this country for a reason, and we have to break it down and understand how many laws do we want, how many regulations do we want. But I'm going to go ahead and assume right now, the president had that press conference. He had tears in his eyes. He got reprimanded for that from a lot of people on the right. Didn't like it. He seemed very sincere to me. And I think, you know, he's passionate about this. So I'm going to give him the benefit and say he's not coming after our guns at the moment. There's devil's advocate for you. He just wants to save and protect as many Americans as he possibly can. Now, that's not too far different than I think a lot of law enforcement people would say that get into that to protect as many people as they can, right?
Yeah, yep, that's true.
So I want to tie it to that a moment, and I'm going to assume that that's the case. Now, their big push is background checks, more background checks. First of all, everybody has to understand, I told everybody up front at the beginning of this show, the reason these two political parties are not working together. So I've already given that to you folks, okay? You already know why, okay? And you know why the Republicans won't work with the president on this, and you know why the president doesn't want to see the views of the Republicans. It's vice versa. That's what's happening here. So what happens now? I sort of agree with the gun control that the president is looking for as the background checks go specifically, okay? I am absolutely a believer in our Constitution, our Second Amendment, make no mistake about it. But I do believe, I don't care if it's Aunt Margaret or I said Cousin Billy up the road, I think background checks need to happen 100%. What do you think?
I think it's very doable. If you want to create a check and balance system that works, then we have the technology to do that. We create the ability for people that are in private, you know, that are private folks to bring the application that they would of the person that they're selling the gun to, have that person fill out an application and take it to a licensed firearm dealer, who would then do the background check for them. I think that it's doable, and we could probably do it with not a great deal of change.
Do you think that there's been a lot of paranoia in the country? I think, is it safe to say that some people are a bit paranoid? They believe that the government is stockpiling information, and they're coming after them. And are we at a paranoia point in this country?
Well, I think that the government they deserve the benefit of the doubt.
And I told folks that up front, Randy. I told them up front that. Go ahead.
Right. That you got to give them the benefit of the doubt unless they demonstrate that they aren't trustworthy. And so I think that yes, there is in certain circles. There are people that don't trust the government one little tiny bit, and I think it's gone a little far.
But some of that they've earned as well, is what you're saying, right?
Well, if you look at some recent events and some government overreach, then you know we have to realize that there has been some government overreach in the past, and so do they deserve that trust? That's the question that we have to ask.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah. You know, on that myth article I sent you earlier, I wanted to mention on myth number 7, I wanted to just touch back on that. Obama's executive action on gun control will thwart criminals' ability to obtain firearms. Coming from this viewpoint of the left viewpoint, can you debunk that at all? What do you say to that?
Well, I mean, what he said was, you know, yes, we can't catch them all. We can't save everybody. Some people will get through the cracks, but if we can just save one person, then it's worth doing.
He just said that in his press conference. Yeah, but why doesn't the right buy that? Why don't they buy into that, Randy?
Well, they don't buy into it because they don't believe anything the president says. They don't buy into it. But, you know, if you take it on its face value, It's a logic that's difficult to refute, because yes, if we could save one person, why wouldn't we do it?
And
that's an argument that is very difficult to say, you know what, no, let's not save them.
Right.
You know?
It is. But yet, yeah, I don't really understand that. All right, listen, in the last minute or so, minute and a half I have with you, I want to talk to you about this app that was positioned at Fast Company. President Obama wants to create a Find My iPhone for stolen guns. This kind of gave me the hibby-jibbies a little bit, I have to be honest with you. How about you? Do you like this, or?
Well, you know, we have the ability to track our cell phones, right?
Right.
And we don't have any issue with that. So if there is a way to track, if I lose my gun, God forbid somebody steals it, and I want to be able to find it, and the technology is there to do it, I'm not sure that I would find that objectionable.
But again, this is where a lot of people are not going to like this, because they're going to say that they're going to track all the guns so they can take them from you. You know, I can already hear my friends saying that, you know.
I can hear everybody. I can hear my
friends. They don't trust the government, and that's the problem. They simply don't. You know, which brings me back, until you really have government trust here, Randy, and until government earns some of their stripes back and they get out of the gutter of approval ratings, they're down like 8, 9, 10, 11%, I think you're going to have a hard time in all these things, aren't you?
I think you couldn't hit it any better on the head than right now. There is such a huge level of distrust that anything the government, whether it's on the left or the right, proposes is going to be.
It really is. So again, let me give folks the new website, randylsutton.com, S-U-T-T-O-N, randylsutton.com. Folks, check him out at that site. See what's going on. This man has so many great things going on. I really am always so pleased to know. He's got so many cool things happening in law enforcement around the country. But check him out. It's good to have him here. And again, I asked him to play with me to see if he don't do the alter ego. I think he did a fine job. Listen, you know, after all of this, I'm going to come back. I've got a couple of interesting stories I want to share with you. How about a self-driving car? What do you think about that? You think we could get into that, where cars drive themselves? And I got a pretty wild story about this teenage girl who lifted a truck off her father. I'm talking a truck, and saved the family from a fire and her dad. It's Malcolm Out Loud. We'll be right back on the Brink here shortly. So what do you think about a car that drives itself? Yeah, a car that you can actually do some texting and do some work on the phone, or it's okay, I guess, to be a little distracted if the car's driving itself, right? Well, this is Malcolm Out Loud back with you here. This is real life, and these self-driving cars that are kind of scary, they seem like they're going to come to a town near you soon, so you better catch up on this and know what's going on. And also this incredible story of courage and maturity from this young teenage girl that lifts a GMC truck off of her father. Father's working on the truck falls on him, and she saves her dad, and then proceeds to save the family from a fire that was caused from the sparks. Anyways, I want to tell you all about that story as well. And what about these claims of rising crime throughout the country? Well, if you look at these latest reports, the stats are showing that these are a little bit exaggerated, my friends. They're not exactly true. Well, let's start with these self-driving cars. And, you know, I'm actually looking at an image right now, a Hyundai. It's called the Mobis iCockpit car. And it's simulated here, but it lets people experience what they're calling autonomous driving mode. And this is at the CES show in Vegas. But you're seeing it, and, you know, the folks in there, they have phones they're working on and playing with, and the car's driving down the road, and they say this is going to be a reality, that this is coming to a town near you. Now, the cars, we already have cars that you can park and switch lanes, and they'll, like, do this, parallel parking. A lot of people kind of don't do parallel parking. I never had a problem with that. I could always parallel park, but I know a lot of people struggle with that. So, well, a new study by Auto Trader found that 70% of car shoppers preferred vehicles with autonomous features like park assist, collision avoidance, and automatic braking. You know, we can all use a little collision avoidance in our life, couldn't we? Well, there's a big shift in the auto industry, and both the automakers and the technology companies, they're all trying to get up quickly to the cash register. I'm talking companies like Google, Uber, Tesla, Ford, Toyota, BMW, General Motors, you know. And they're striking partnerships, say, with all these technology companies and all these autonomous features toward eventually a fully self-driving vehicle. Now, some of the research they did, the University of Michigan's Transportation Research Institute has been looking into this, and they've conducted multiple public opinion surveys on this to find out. It's sort of a mixed message. I think people are intrigued. They show interest, but they're still a bit timid and scared with these self-driving vehicles. Why? Well, a lot of people are concerned about giving up control. It's like taking your foot off the gas. In fact, some of these cars, they're saying there would be no steering wheel, no gas, or no brake pedal. I'm not sure how that works. And if you needed an emergency, how that would work either, I don't know. But anyways, you have, a lot of hardcore people are simply, they want to drive cars. In fact, I have friends like that. They love driving. They love driving, like they'll drive like, on holiday, 1,000 miles, 2,000 miles. They think nothing of it. A lot of times that's not safer than getting a plane and flying there. That can be a lot safer, although people get scared of, air travel as well. But again, what they're saying now, the answer to this whole thing is to take small steps. So you're going to start seeing more and more of this. And you know where we're going, folks. Everything in your life is going to be automated. I'm telling you right now, your life is going to be the Jetsons. You remember the Jetsons, that futuristic movie? Meet George Jetson. You're going to have more and more of that George Jetson stuff. Everything's going to be automated. And I keep telling you that, and you watch. But the key is these companies are doing it in small spurts. So they're not going to do it all at once. It's going to be in, smaller doses so you can handle it. And I think that's probably important for most folks. Well, I want to tell you about this incredible story of courage, bravery, and just somebody that really grows up real fast. Charlotte Heffelmeyer. Her dad, Eric Heffelmeyer, was working on his GMC trucks. Pretty big truck. I'm looking at it. GMC is not a little Tonka toy here, And I'm looking at it in the picture here, and it's a big truck. And so he's working on it underneath there, and what happened is, I guess the car slipped, and this is not the first time this has happened, and fell on Eric. It fell on him. The jack slipped off the jack, and pinned him beneath the front end. Well, right at that time, sparks began shooting up, and flames started throwing, and I guess were headed, hitting the house as well. And the truck was burning. And so he was struggling for about 10 minutes, Eric was. Couldn't free himself until his daughter, Charlotte, happened to walk into the garage, just coincidental. She immediately ran to the front bumper of the burning vehicle, and barefoot and barehanded, she lifted it off her father. Now, nobody knows how she did this. I mean, she's not a big girl. And not that any girl could actually lift a GMC truck off her father. In fact, in the interview I watched after a video, and she clearly says, she doesn't even remember it being heavy. She said it felt like a piece of paper. Now, how do you lift a GMC truck off your dad, who is dying, and think it feels like a piece of paper? It doesn't, I think this would be called, what do we call it, divine intervention? I think this is very much, there's got to be some faith involved in this story. There's no question God had to have a hand in this one, but she lifted that GMC truck off of her dad. And then she dragged him away from the flames. I mean, there was a fire that was burning now, and the truck was burning, I guess, and she worried about the house burning. I guess it was on the steps and the garage and stuff were burning, so there were some other items in the garage, from what I understand, that were burning as well. So she realized the burning truck was still a threat to the house and the rest of the family, so she immediately, without going back in the film, she climbs behind the wheel, floors the gas pedal, and takes the truck away from the garage and away from the house so the house don't burn down. Then she goes back inside the house to get the family out to make sure everything's okay and tell them what happened. And this is absolutely mind-blowing situation. Anyways, a whole video on this. I'm going to put it up on our Twitter feed, @MalcolmOutLoud. And the hashtag MalcolmOutLoud on Twitter. You'll find all kinds of things there. All these stories I talk about all the time are up there. Again, this, it's the kind of story. I love these kinds of stories. They're just so heroic. They're just absolutely amazing, and I just love them. And people like this do this kind of thing. And so this lady, again, Charlotte, this young girl, she's a hero. I mean, she's absolutely a hero. Charlotte Heffelmeyer, one more time, Charlotte Heffelmeyer, and this young lady that just happened to be walking into the garage and see her dad in that situation, and she bounced to the rescue. God bless her, man. Just to be quick in response like that is amazing. And so I want to talk to you about this crime. We've been talking about gun control on the show and discussing the ramifications of this whole thing and pros and cons. And, I think we need to do something at times. I'm not a big fan of a lot of regulation, friends, and I'm not a big fan of lots of government and lots of control. Absolutely not. I don't. But at the same time, we need some things in a civilized society. and we can't have the bad cats running around with things that they shouldn't have. So I firmly believe in background checks and things of that nature, as I've shared with you, and I think you heard Lieutenant Randy Sutton said the same thing. But how is crime in the country? Are things, these claims of rising crime and chaos, and, you know, the streets are really bad, lawless violence, and, you know, it's kind of the images that are portrayed out there. What's really going on? Is that the case? Well, from what I'm seeing, that is not the case at all. And I want to share that with you right now. The average person in a large urban area is safer walking on the street today than he or she would have been at almost any time in the past 30 years. Can you believe that? The last 30 years, they're safer today than any time before. I don't think any of us would have guessed that, but that's what this report says that's been released from the Brennan Center for Justice. Crime in 2015, a preliminary analysis is what it is called here, okay? So they took the 30 largest American cities provided by the FBI and local police departments, and they show crime overall was about, you know, the same in 2015 as it was in 2014, and is projected to decline by 5.5%, meaning that the crime rate will still be less than half of what it was in 1990, they're saying. Half of what it was in 1990. That's unbelievable. I mean, who would have guessed this? It's startling to know this. So, you know, there is a lot of good things going out there, and obviously crime isn't as bad. Now, some cities are not so lucky. We talk about Chicago a lot of crime there, sure. But you know where also there's a lot of crime? Baltimore. You've seen those Baltimore riots this past year, and Washington, D.C. And I'm going to give you a stat now that just totally blows my mind, and I would have never guessed this. But what they're saying from this FBI reports and police reports, both cities account for almost 50%, half of our country's murders. Well, guess what that means? I'm not moving to Baltimore and I'm not moving to Washington, D.C. How's that? Wow. I don't know what their rates are in their travel rates and tourist rates, but that cannot be a good thing for the commerce departments and stuff. But that's it. Baltimore and Washington, D.C. reported to have really high crime rates. But overall, the country as a whole is doing very, very well. And so the rates themselves, I think they're coming down everywhere, minus the cities I just told you, you know. So that's what you got going on here. And so crime isn't as out of control as they're saying. And that's important for all of us to know that. Well, listen, a lot of good stories back at brinkofgreatness.com. I want you to check that out when you can and see what's going on over there. A lot of good stuff. And also, if you want a little bit of dose of reality for your news and comment, go to outloudamerica.com. It's all there, my friends. Well, listen, thanks for Lieutenant Randy Sutton for joining me. And I hope you learned something today about guns. I know I did. We'll do it back again here tomorrow with you. Again, remember, folks, get involved, get loud.